You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey, with a nice Thursday afternoon podcast, Locked On Sixers. I have my man, Mike Silski, the award-winning Mike Silski. And Mike, the Sixers traded Nerlens Noel today.
Yes, they did.
To the Dallas Mavericks for Andrew Bogut, who they'll probably, most likely, they're going to buy out his contract. And then Justin Anderson, who's a second-year swingman out of Virginia. And they also get a protected top 18 pick this year that conveys, if they don't get it, to two second-round picks, one each year, the other one next year. I want to get your thoughts on the trade.
Okay. I've been on social media just like you have. I've seen the reactions to this trade, generally negative from Sixers fans. And at the core, I think this is why there's this negative reaction. One of the reasons, and this just occurred to me within the last like 30 seconds, one of the reasons that people got behind tanking the way that Sam Hinkie did it was that when he made a trade, a big one like this, take Michael Carter-Williams deal two deadlines ago. He made it, and when you saw what the Sixers got back, we're getting back, you saw the reason why he did it. And that reason often was the potential for something greater out of that deal, okay? With Carter-Williams, it was, he was the 11th overall pick in the draft. We thought he had kind of stagnated in his development. He wasn't going to develop a jump shot. He wasn't quite going to be the player we, you know, in a perfect world, we'd hope he'd be. So what do we get for him? We get a Lakers pick that, if and when it conveys, is going to be higher in the draft than the 11th pick that we used on Michael Carter-Williams. So presumably, in theory, you would get a better player. You would upgrade. Tell me in this trade where the potential for that is. Is Justin Anderson going to turn out to be a better, more valuable player than Nerlens Noel? Is either of those second-round picks, presumably the Sixers are going to get these two picks because it's going to take Dallas, you know, it's going to take a miracle for that pick to convey this year, given where the Mavericks are. Are either of those second-round picks going to turn out to be better than Nerlens Noel? I don't think so, and I think that's the issue people have with it. To me, I'm surprised at this. I would have thought that they would have held on to Nerlens. Yes, he's a restricted free agent. Yes, he may have commanded big dollars. Maybe. I think that's debatable. Even if you're forced to re-sign him because you can match any offer, re-sign him. It may work out next year, and even if it doesn't, you can trade him then. Why this move? I'm not getting this move. I'm just not.
I mean, do you think it was a matter of, you know, because from, you know, you talk to people and you hear that, you know, Okafor was the person they were trying to trade. You know, Mirotić, Chicago really wanted to send Mirotić to the Sixers, who has a contract just like Nerlens, mm-hmm. you know, an expiring contract where he's going to be a restricted free agent. You know, the Sixers didn't want that. And then you hear about stuff that, you know, the things that fell through with New Orleans. Do you believe that it came to a point where they have a logjam at center and they can't get rid of the guy in Okafor, and Noel has been playing a little bit better, and they basically moved him?
I think they thought that. I think they were aiming too high. This is me, that they were aiming too high with what they wanted to get in return for Okafor. I'm of the opinion, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm of the opinion that they needed to do anything they could have done to move Jahlil Okafor. Not because of who he is as a person, nothing off the floor or anything like that, but because he just didn't fit with what they were trying to do and what they want to do. And any minutes that you give him is going to stagnate the team within a game, and it's going to stagnate the entire process of growing the whole thing because he just doesn't fit in today's NBA. So if you move him out of the way and just get him off your roster, maybe that creates more minutes for Nerlens Noel. Maybe it creates more minutes for somebody else, whoever that may be, Ben Simmons, another bench player, Rashawn Holmes, whoever the case may be. But now you've got to get Okafor those minutes, and it's not helping you in any way to have him get those minutes. I guess he might develop to his offensive game and improve his defensive game to the point that you could trade him later. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah. Now, as I said in my podcast yesterday, that or you know, well, actually, it came out earlier today. It's one of those things where, you know, these moves are going to set the Sixers back.
Yes.
I mean, they are. Like, you know, you have right now the next at least for the next four games, we all know that Joel Embiid is not playing. Right.
Right.
That's four games. You know, Ersan Ilyasova, who was their second leading scorer, was the veteran of the team, the guy who basically kept Dario Saric not in check, but he was his mentor,
yes,
so to speak. He's gone. So you got the best shooter on the team, and you have the leader of the team, the veteran leader, and the best players are now Nerlens Noel.
Your best defensive player.
Who's your best defensive player, you know, not named Joel Embiid, but Joel Embiid hasn't played.
Right.
You know, he missed 11 games straight. So, to me, I just don't see them winning a lot of games. I just don't.
No, I don't either. I think, and I'm actually sitting down to write a column saying this very thing. This is tanking Brian Colangelo style. This to me is, as I wrote last week, as you've been saying for a while, the Sixers were tanking this season. Once the injury happened to Embiid, once, as you revealed, Ben Simmons' foot was not healing, or they weren't sure it was healing in the way that it should be healing, they said to themselves, okay, this is another lost season. This is us to tank. I just think that this is a bad trade to that end. I don't think the potential for it helping them is there at all. I don't believe that you needed to move Nerlens Noel because you risked losing him for nothing in the offseason. You had the right to match whatever he was going to get offered, and even if you did that, you could have traded him in the, you know, the following season. And I think this is Brian Colangelo trying to put his stamp on where the Sixers are headed. And remember, too, we haven't touched on this yet. Nerlens Noel was the guy, both in an exclusive interview with you before training camp began, and then the day the training camp began, who said, this is baloney that Brian Colangelo is out here saying that one of us is going to get traded. If you're going to say that, one of us has to be traded. And I don't think Colangelo will like that even a little bit. And I think that given the opportunity to move Nerlens Noel, he was going to move Nerlens Noel in a way, regardless of how much Nerlens was actually contributing to the team.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. I mean, I hate to say that, but I think that maybe Nerlens might have been a distraction. You know, I think, you know, they probably didn't get along. I don't know. I mean, but I think that could have had something to do with it as well. You know, I just don't – right now – oh, I get it. This is a guard-heavy draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have three centers. It was a logjam. You know, Okafor was going about it a completely different way than Nerlens Noel did. But it seems like, you know, the team was just, you know, a little bit more productive with Noel in there.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, though? You mentioned it being a guard-heavy league, and clearly that's
draft,
the,
yeah,
you know, that's the perception. It's a guard-heavy draft.
Yeah.
You know, what was the other big trade we just had happen in this league? It was New Orleans going after and getting DeMarcus Cousins,
yeah,
to pair with Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. I want to see how that works out, because I've always been of the mindset that the Sixers, with Embiid, with Noel, and with Okafor. This was the issue I had with Colangelo in the offseason, saying, well, we've got to get roster balance. Like, wait a minute. Like, if everybody's zigging in the league, why wouldn't you at least try to zag and say, we've got these three big guys, they're all talented, we know they're going to be here for a while, can we make this work somehow? Can we figure this out so that we're doing things differently from the way everybody's doing it, and can we use it to our advantage? If you're going to end up tanking anyway, as soon as Embiid and or Simmons gets hurt, at the first sign of trouble, then why not give it a shot? Instead, Colangelo showed his hand from the jump, saying that we're going to trade one of these guys, and this ends up happening. You don't get value for a player you needed to get value for.
Yeah, you're right. Now, the only thing about when you got two bigs, to me, it's great to have two bigs playing together, right? But you know, you got the DeMarcus Cousins, and I'm just, you know, getting a little bit off,
mm-hmm,
focus a little bit, like off subject a little bit. So you have DeMarcus Cousins and you have Anthony Davis. Both of these guys are averaging 29 points, more than 29 points, and 10 rebounds. Now, they're not, both of them are not going to average, in my opinion, are going to not average 29 points and 10 for the rest of the season. It just, you know, it just can't happen. Like, mm-hmm. every, you need some outside production.
Right.
So when you do that, a lot of times it sounds good on paper, but then one guy is going to say, especially with a DeMarcus Cousins, who is the focal point of, who was the focal point of the Kings, is going to probably say, you know what, I came here and I'm going to play second fiddle. You know, yeah, you know what? It was great to help them go to the playoffs and everything if we can do it. But I typically don't see people signing long term for something like that.
You're right. Yeah, you know it's, what I mean? It's so an experiment.
It's
yes.
an experiment. But, you know, we'll see how it works.
I'm mentioning it just as a matter of Colangelo showing his hand and costing himself leverage. You know, like that thought never seemed to be there, that we're going to try to make this work just for the sake of not revealing that we want to trade one of these guys no matter what. You know what I mean? If you go into the offseason saying, we got to deal one of these guys to achieve roster balance, then, okay, the entire league knows that you're going to try to do that. You know, then you get another team who goes the exact opposite way, and who knows what's – you're right. Who knows what's going to happen with New Orleans, but at least they're going to try the experiment and give it a real shot.
Yeah, they're going to try it. We'll see. I mean, I just know – and you touched on it, that this team is going to look completely different from the team that was started to get constructed years ago.
Oh,
it's
going to
be a completely different. I mean, you know, it's starting with, this is right now, this is the Joel Embiid, Dario Saric, and Ben Simmons show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe it, I mean, beforehand it was some veterans in the mix. But if you don't believe it, it is what it is.
Yep.
I mean, and, you know, we'll just see how they do. We'll see how the fans react because, you know, they did experience some success in January.
Yeah.
And now it's all going. And like you said, a lot of people on Twitter are upset. Now, again, if they are able to get a top three pick in the lottery and they get a guard out of it and that guard becomes to be a superstar – and you start saying, we have Dario, we have Ben, we have Embiid.
We have superstar
guard. Then, you know, everything is going to be, you know, different. People
we have
remember.
Nick Stauskas.
Yeah,
we have T.J. McConnell.
Yeah. You know, everything's going to be different. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it all goes. But, you know, and I'm not surprised. You're not surprised that Nerlens Noel was traded. But it's just that it's particular time is just setting the team back for the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Hinkie made points. His point was when people didn't really believe in and fit into what the Sixers wanted to do, they were gone.
Yeah.
And Noel's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
But like I said earlier, that I think the skepticism comes from what Colangelo got in return for Nerlens Noel compared to what Sam Hinkie got in return for Michael Carter Williams, compared to what Sam Hinkie got in return in that Sacramento trade, you know, which is going to continue to pay dividends for the Sixers. You know, I think those things matter. You know, and the other thing is, too, is that Nerlens Noel was not a guy who was going to need the ball in any way. He gave the Sixers something very valuable, I think, you know, his defense, his rim protection. He's an elite defender, I think, and there was room for that on the roster going forward.
Yeah, you're right. Well, hey, man, I want to thank you.
My pleasure,
for
anytime.
Being on this podcast, and keep winning those awards, player.
Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it.
All right, hey, I want to thank y'all for listening in to my man. And as I said, you know, he's an award-winning columnist for Philly.com, Philadelphia Inquirer. If you don't read his work, something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? I'm being serious here. But, hey, y'all, I want to thank y'all, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. And thanks for taking the time to listen to this second podcast of the day on Thursday. Peace.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.